And that's one reason Nate, that BioWare has been having so many issues on Convince, because, you know, when EA bought them out, that was after Mass Effect 2, I think 2. That's why 3 was the least best in the series. I'm telling you, they just ruined everything they touch at this point. Especially with DLC and all that shit.
See, I didn't know that about Longshot. Now that you mention it, it does sound kind of like a crock.
You know, and it just, I had hope. I was like, okay, EA saw that 2K was doing this thing with the My Career. And even though 2K16's My Career was awful with frequency vibrations or whatever, but 2K17, this My Career mode, I've been playing it and it's phenomenal. And I was hoping that, okay, maybe EA saw this and was like, hey, we can do this with Madden the way people have been asking for years. And no, not at all.
Don't call it a podcast. I've been here for years.
TheKidsWearCrowns.com.
You used to call me all night. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself, my. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed, God. Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. When you need my love, call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing.
Ever since special edition, my name is Ryan McLaughlin. With me today is Courtney Campbell, as always, on the Don't Call It podcast. But we have a special guest with us today. And so, Courtney, before I let you introduce yourself, I'll go ahead and let our guest take over. Mr. Nate Rutherford B. Hayes.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I am Nathaniel Rutherford, as he mentioned. Happy to join. I've listened to y'all's podcast before. Really liked it. So I'm happy to hop on and join you guys for this one.
Well, we appreciate it. We do have one more guest that's supposed to be coming. We're trying to get him lined up now. But in the meantime, I'm sorry, Courtney, you didn't get a chance to introduce yourself, so please go ahead.
It's okay. I said, hey, it was a muffled hey.
So, it's been a busy week for us over here. We have gone through, we've recorded 3, different podcasts this week. I've been in the middle of editing them all. It has been crazy. This will be the second one that launches, but, if you guys get the chance to, make sure you check them all out on our website, thekidsworkgrounds.com. You can find us on iTunes. And on SoundCloud. Anyway, the whole reason we are here today is to talk a little bit about the Electronics Entertainment Expo, or E3 for short, that has gone on today, namely the Nintendo stream. Nintendo has really stopped being a quote-unquote traditional presenter at E3 over the last, 2 years?
I would say 2 years.
And they've gone down the route of Nintendo Directs, doing a stream online, which I think it still works, especially for the audience that they're pulling in. They pull in kids and they pull in nostalgia heads like us. But they had a 20-minute long presentation today, and it was phenomenal. I was freaking out. I don't even own a Switch, but I'm now thinking about owning a Switch in the near future.
I'm selling a kidney so I can buy a Switch.
You know, that might be the best thing to do right now. So,
it's
Courtney.
Worth it.
Tell us, what was your biggest takeaway from this Nintendo Direct?
I really think Nintendo is getting serious about, because with the Wii and the Wii U, they lost a lot of excitement from fans, especially me, because I've always been a big Nintendo fan. So when they first announced the Switch and released the Switch with, Breath of the Wild, I was like, okay, this looks great. Still not going to drop $300 for it. Because I just didn't want to, we mentioned this earlier, we don't want it to be like a Zelda box just for Breath of the Wild. And like I said, it wanted to be more like the Wii or Wii U, where there's not much else to offer. But I knew there was going to be a new Mario game coming out, and it looks absolutely incredible. And then Metro Prime 4 looks incredible. And then them announcing that there's going to be a new Pokemon RPG game, which I'm sold. Anything on Pokemon, I'm sold. I'm like, okay, done. I don't need anything else. I heard Pokemon. Here's my cash.
Yeah, that is what got me. I mean, everything else looked phenomenal. They had the Super Mario Odyssey trailer and all that. But the quick 5 seconds where they announced that that Game Freak is working on a core RPG for the Pokemon series for the Switch is something we've all been waiting for. We've all heard the Pokemon Stars rumors. It was as if they said, hey, we know some people are salty that we revealed Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon and not a Switch title, not Pokemon Stars. So here, shut up and enjoy this.
And we're like, okay, yes, thank you. We're all good now. Anger completely dissipates.
Exactly.
We're like toddlers, honestly.
Exactly.
The fan base. What about you, Nate?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm excited, especially like you said, for the core series Pokemon game. That makes me really, really happy. I don't have a Switch. That alone makes me want to get a Switch. I was a huge Pokemon fan as a kid. I played definitely the most of the third generation of Ruby and Sapphire. I had Ruby, I guess fourth or fifth grade or something like that. And I mean, I logged, 300 something hours, I think, on that game. I completed the Pokedex on it, beat the Elite Four about a million times. And I kind of stopped playing not long after that, and didn't play really for years. And then I really, really got back into it once Pokemon Go launched last summer, and I still play that every single day.
You lost all credibility with me when you said you stopped playing.
Well, I think it was just because I didn't really get a ton of, I didn't get another upgrade, I didn't get a DS, I just kept my SP. I kind of just stopped playing handheld games, and I still kept it with Pokemon a bit, I just didn't actually play it as much, but now I'm just back into full gear, and now I've got an emulator on my laptop that I actually will go back, and I've been playing the games again on that, so I don't have to go buy, you know, a DS and everything again. So I've got that, and been playing them recently, so I'm pumped for that. And as you said, the Super Mario Odyssey looks really, really cool. I mean, the opening trailer, you see a T-Rex come on the screen. I'm like, wow,
I know, yeah.
That's so cool. So I think Nintendo hit a home run today.
I agree 100%. I can't be the only one who was absolutely confused when I saw the T-Rex. I was like, Yeah, exactly. I was like, what is this supposed to be, Nintendo? What are you up to? But I think all the elements of Super Mario Odyssey, the hat's ability to possess different objects, apparently. I mean, it's just the vast open worlds. I actually was watching. It's funny enough that I was watching. I don't know if either one of y'all are familiar with Game Theory.
Yes.
Oh, I love Game Theory, yeah.
They just did a post. Like, they just did an episode on Super Mario Odyssey and the whole new Donk City thing. And the trailer made it pretty obvious in that he was correct, but the whole city is based on the Donkey Kong Country franchises. Mm-hmm. Donk City, the name of the streets is like Dixie Way and Diddy Way. There were shops by the two of them as well. And what was it? I think the final touch was Pauline being the mayor. And I don't know if either one of y'all caught that, but Pauline was the initial woman you saved in the original Donkey Kong arcade game. So it's just like a nice little touch like that, that they're pulling all that out the woodwork, so to speak. So yeah, that trailer was phenomenal to me. But backing up to what Nate even said with the Pokemon franchise, this is kind of what we've been waiting on. Well, not kind of. We've been waiting on this since the old rumors of Pokemon Rainbow back in the day. And I know it's not going to be that. And I'm kind of hoping it's the start of the 8th generation. But at the same time, would it not be phenomenal if we could have, I mean, with the capacity that the Switch can hold, what if we do get a game like that where we're I don't know the feasibility of traveling all 7 regions, especially when you start dealing with levels and everything like that, but how could they make a game like that work if they wanted to?
Well, I think it's going to be easier to do on the Switch when you have a much better computing capacity and things like that. It would be a lot harder to do on a handheld device like a DS or a 3DS or things like that. But if you can do it it can happen on a console. I think it's gonna be interesting to see how they do it. Like you said, if they choose to be the 8th generation, or if they choose to make it an older game or whatever they do, because it'll be interesting now that they've pretty much confirmed with Sun and Moon, you know, the alternate timeline theories, and that's actually pretty much true. It's going to be really cool to see what all they do and I guess what they decide to make this Switch game, which generation they make it, and like you said, how they kind of cater it and the style they make it.
And this is what I think they'll do if they do multiple regions. one thing that just popped in my mind is, you know how hard, how difficult it is in Pokemon Sun and Moon to level grind after games. I think if they can just up the difficulty and make it a lot more difficult to do level grinding, because honestly, that's what we all do and that's how we all fly through the game. I think they can do that because they've done it with just two regions. And I think you usually are average around level 50 or 60 when you drop up and you go to the Johto region. So if they can do, if they can recreate that somewhat and up that difficulty, because they know most, I know they still cater to children, but most of their fan base and their buying base are 20 somethings and early and 30 somethings that are buying their games, if we're being honest. And they know this.
Yeah, I think they know that. I don't think they knew that forever. I think that's something that they just kind of accepted over the last, really the last generation, because when you look at Gen 6, Gen 6 catered so much to nostalgia, and not just the Mega Evolutions, but you know, the fact that you can catch the, or you can get one of the original three starters in the game, you know, just every single thing about that generation just kind of flocked to that, and it just kind of seemed like a return to form, so to speak, because to me, and I think a lot of people knock Gen 5, but to me, Gen 5 was a step in the right direction, even though it didn't work the way they wanted to. So maybe with this Switch title, they can kind of piece together everything they've been wanting to do and appease some of their oldest fans. Because for the most part, I think they know the people who are going to jump up and buy that game first there, like you said, they're older fans. So,
it's crazy.
Anyway, with that being said, I think, because we can go on about Pokemon forever, and we might come back to it at the end, but let's talk about, I know, Courtney, you were really hyped for the Metroid title, and it's going to be Metroid 4 as well as a 3DS title, right?
Mm-hmm. It was just so incredible, because, you know, as well as Pokemon, like I said, I was like a Nintendo fan from the, like, that was my main thing, so I loved Metroid too, but it just, I don't know. The best thing I can say is just watch the trailer. It looks really incredible. I'm really excited. Samus is coming back. Just looks. I'm just hyped. All I am is just hyped. Like, this podcast is happening just because I was so hyped. I sent a group message saying, we have to talk about this. I need to get this out of my system.
Well, I mean, and there is so much more to it, too. I mean, we've been waiting on a Metroid game for, what, it's been 10 years now?
I think it's been a decade, yeah. Long 10 years. High school, yeah.
That's a ridiculous amount of time to wait for one of their staple franchises, that they have really been pushing and promoting Metroid since the first Smash Brothers came out, and they brought Samus kind of back into the forefront. But another couple of interesting ones to me, and I mean, we know Splatoon's getting a sequel. Everything I've seen about ARMS looks great. One of the ones that kind of caught me off guard, and I'm scared to touch it and see what happens, because they haven't really had a lot of success over the last really 15 years, and that's the Sonic Forces game. This game has been getting a lot of hype, a lot of promotion, and to me, it really, I don't know, it looks great, but we've seen success, or the lack of success the Sonic franchise has had for the longest. Yes. So, I don't know. I'm kind of scared. What about y'all?
Yeah, I grew up a huge Sonic fan. Yeah. Go ahead, Courtney.
Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I grew up a huge Sonic fan. Like, I had the Sonic 1 and 2 for the Genesis growing up, and I got like one of those old plug-and-play things for the TV when I was, you know, after we didn't have the Genesis anymore, and finally beat it playing on that, the plug-and-play, actually. I've played it on my computer since I've been in college and stuff like that, too, so I'm a huge Sonic fan. Like you said, everything that has come out posts, I guess post really, I guess Genesis era, once the Dreamcast came out, Sonic just hasn't really been good. They've tried to change too much of the gameplay. They've slowed it down. They put in some really, really, really weird story elements into some of the games too. But this one, like you said, it's going back to its roots. It's gone back to the old platforming style, kind of going back to, again, we're going to make Sonic back to what it used to be. And it looks so good. But like you said, we've been fooled before. If you've played any of the Sonic games post, I guess Sonic and Knuckles 3 or whatever it was back in the, like, still the Genesis era. If you
Sonic
played anything past
was
that,
like the last okay one. But even if you go back and play that, it's kind of a disaster. you just kind of accepted it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Instead, there hasn't really been a good Sonic game in years. That's why I want to get excited for this, but at the same time, you're like, I've been fooled before. I don't want to buy into the hype too much. But it does just look like it's going to be fun. I'm going to wait on that one. Well, when I don't have a Switch, but if I get a Switch for the Pokemon game, I guess I'll get the Sonic game then. But it's, I want to wait to see what the reviews say, because I am very skeptical about the Sonic games at this point.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. And a couple others that we've seen pop up. One of the things that surprised me was Crash Bandicoot is actually back. Oh, well, it's kind of a...
Yes.
It's kind of so a... Excited. From what I see, it's what, like a remake, or is it an actual?
It's okay. A remake. Mm-hmm.
But either way,
it's a reskin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. And I mean, I own a PS4, so I'm on it. You know, when that day comes. But just to me, there was so much, and I'm trying to kind of scroll through some of these things. Undertale getting a PS4 release. I think that's absolutely crazy to me that game has gotten so much attention. It was an indie project, and this guy now has a major console release. Yoshi has a new installment coming out. Rocket League is coming to Switch, and they will function with cross-platform online gameplay. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not the most tech savvy person, so I can't really tell you. Have any of y'all played Rocket League?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we finally got James in. The Russians stopped intercepting his signal. So
I'm back, baby.
So
well,
James,
I wasn't actually really here, but yes, I am back.
Since we got you now, go ahead and give us your thoughts on the Nintendo E3 Direct.
Then the Nintendo E3 is actually really joyous. I just got around to watching the new Super Mario Odyssey gameplay trailer over on Kotaku, and I might just have to buy a Nintendo Switch just so I can control dinosaurs with Mario. That's all you need to do to sell that game. Is just say, hey, we have a magical hat that lets you control, like, literally anything.
Anything.
Like, that's just a dream. Like, it's unbelievable.
Like, I think I might spend my first hour playing that game of being in that new Donk City area and taking control of every single human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trying to figure out, you know, how to get onto here, I did catch a little bit of your blurb about all the Easter eggs in New Donk City, and I greatly appreciate your reference to Pauline, a character who has never gotten her due.
Ever. That's why I was so shocked that she was in there, because she hasn't been referenced in pretty much like 30 years. Like, when...
Yeah, I'm telling you, I really think that Nintendo has finally recognized that their main base is like the old nostalgia fans, and they're going for it, and you can tell with all of their titles, and it's incredible. I'm glad they're finally... I think they're wanting to be taken seriously again, and they're looking towards that nostalgia base and not the, you know, youth base. So
I mean, but that, and that's smart right now, especially since we're getting so many things remade from the 90s and the 80s. But if you honestly think about it, just going back to your comment earlier, Courtney, about, you know, the last couple platforms for Nintendo, if you really think about it, outside of their main gamer base, three of the last four haven't really, I don't want to say they've been failures. But they have. Well, not even three of the last four. Two of the last three, I'm sorry. When you talk about the GameCube and you talk about the Wii U. The Wii was a huge hit because it really appealed to casual fans, and it really was something extremely innovative. And they had a lot of great games for the Wii and a lot of great things to take advantage of that gimmick. Nintendo's main problem has been that they haven't really been able to get third-party support. And with the Switch, they're finally getting that. It's like they took what they were trying to do with the Wii U and perfected it. Because you can see a lot of the core of the Wii U still in the Switch. But the main problem with the Wii U is that they branded it as the Wii U. When I first saw the Wii U, I thought it was like just an extension of the Wii. I thought it was this pad that you could buy that would supplement the Wii, and, you know, you just go from there. I didn't know that it was a whole new system.
I had the same exact reaction too. I really think that was a huge marketing failure on Nintendo's part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think they were trying to pick up on the popularity that was the Wii. Because remember when it came out, you know, it feels like it was forever ago, back in what, 2006?
11 years ago.
I want to say somewhere around there, 7? Anyway, but back when that came out, like, that was a really big deal. It was, like, the biggest selling console on its opening weekend at that point of all time. Like, I think they wanted to capitalize on the success that it had with their particular demographic, because let's be realistic here, Nintendo is not looking to grab the same demographic that the Xbox has, or the same demographic that PlayStation viewers have. They have a very specific audience in mind with these consoles. And so with that Wii U, they were looking to, you know, keep them there, say, hey, we've gathered this crowd that we had before with the Wii, let's keep them in our wheelhouse with a new console that looks similar and has a similar feel to the old console, and try and get some more, you know, more serious games in here. And they were probably really hoping some third parties would come in and work with them, but those third parties, you know, kind of looked at the processing power of, you know, a Wii U in comparison to a what would come out with it, the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox One, you know, and the PlayStation 4, and say, well, why would we want to work with your technology is inferior and doesn't really offer anything? Because the Wii always had the capability of playing HD games, but they never used it to their advantage because they have a very clear sense of style when it comes to how they package and market their games, especially to the demographic they're going to. And I think that, you know, like we're talking about here, you know, with this nostalgia flair, and, you know, they're really looking this time around to find those third market teams. I think we're going to get more serious games with the Switch because of the way that, because of its core processing power, its portability, it has a gimmick that actually works in its favor. Because the Wii U's biggest thing was, yeah, the gimmick was kind of cool, but the gimmick was also very limiting.
Oh yeah, you couldn't leave your living room. Yeah, so exactly. And so, you know, I agree with you 100% with them wanting to take more of a risk and being able to have the third party support and kind of get the darker and edgier feel with that third party support. To me, one of the coolest things about the Wii was finally getting online gameplay, but they didn't do it right. And so I'm hoping that with the Switch, you know, you finally get the online gameplay correctly with the Wii U, but nobody has it. I mean, Smash Brothers for the Wii U was kind of a waste, so to speak, of a great addition to the franchise, but nobody was really playing it because nobody owned a Wii U. So,
I mean, yeah, even when they added the 3DS as a controller, because remember that it had that capability where you could buy the game, you know, for a 3DS and then use it as a controller on the Wii U, which is a very cool way to play it. A way to waste that. So, you know, I haven't had a lot of faith recently in Nintendo, but everything they're doing with the Switch is really helping me, you know, reconsider, you know, buying a new system with their name on it.
So let me ask y'all this, and Nate, I'll start with you. What's one thing that you were looking forward to that did not happen?
Well, I guess one thing, it happened, it didn't excite me, I guess, like I thought it would, and it was just BioWare. I just feel like BioWare, to me, in this whole last year has let me down, because I was very amped up for Mass Effect Andromeda, and it ended up being just, it was fine. I didn't think it was nearly as bad as a lot of people did.
Really buggy, though.
Yeah, but it was buggy, and the story itself wasn't great. Is. Yeah, exactly for what BioWare is. That should not have happened. I 100% agree. And then I played the game through, beat it, and it was fine. There's things on it. It just felt like an incomplete game. It felt like there should have been more in it than what it was. So I just kind of, it left a bad taste in my mouth. And then when they came out and they revealed their new IP they have and stuff and showed the gameplay of it. And I was like, I just don't feel excited for BioWare stuff until they win me back, I guess. And I just don't feel like they won me back with that. It doesn't look exciting enough for me. So I guess that was kind of the thing. I wasn't really having huge expectations from a whole lot of E3 this year. I didn't have a ton of things looking forward to. Because the one thing I was looking forward to see if Nintendo would say anything else about Pokemon, and they did. So I don't feel very disappointed, I guess, from E3 this year. That was kind of the main thing that I was wanting to see, if BioWare was going to say anything about Mass Effect or anything else, or, you know, anything that was going to make me kind of want to come back to them, and they didn't. So I'm kind of like, I guess I'll just wait around again, because I still haven't beaten Dragon Age Inquisition, so I haven't had a chance to really get excited about that next Dragon Age game. So I just kind of, I'm a little bad taste in my mouth for BioWare right now.
Courtney?
Yeah, I kind of like Nate. I didn't go into it with like huge expectations. I guess I was kind of disappointed on Sony's part just because there wasn't anything from Sony that really excited me. I'm really intrigued by the Xbox One X leak, so I kind of want to see what's going to happen from that. But honestly, like, my hype from the Nintendo E3 is just everything. Like, I'm just really excited. I'm just so excited from that. I really can't even think about anything else that has disappointed me, just because of how much Nintendo has impressed me. So.
Yeah, usually when it comes to E3, I kind of take an outside view on it because I'm a very casual gamer. Like, I'll come to games, you know, if a friend of mine has them, and I look forward to playing the games. I'm usually a generation behind. So right now I'm on a PlayStation 3. But if I have a friend with a PS4 and he's got this game, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm really excited, you know, play that sometime. And so for me, it's kind of like being on the outside looking in of a fishbowl. And so I just kind of like to see what's coming out there and what people are reacting to. And I have a lot of friends in the video gaming community, you know, like in the actual like professional, like underground leagues. And, you know, E3 is basically, you know, a conglomeration of all of them. And the reaction that I found was that everybody loved the Nintendo E3. Because usually, like, in that community, and I've followed it for probably about 5 years now, like, they usually tend to be very disappointed with Nintendo's E3 and how they present. But a lot of them that I saw were saying that it was one of, if not the best E3 presentations there, and that was really surprising for them. One thing I was really disappointed in, though, because I do love, you know, fighting games, even if I'm a terrible weeb at them. The new Marvel vs. Capcom doesn't look very exciting.
Yeah, everything I've seen so far, people have said they're disappointed. I haven't gotten a chance to look at it. But I haven't seen one.
Yeah, a friend of mine on Twitter had said something to the effect of, yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has a lot of amazing new effects. You can jump, attack, kick, and even special attack.
You know? Yeah, it's kind of a shame if Nintendo showcased two fighters that were better than your fighter. And the other one's a Pokemon fighting game. Like, yeah, you're kind of being outdone. A Pokemon fighting game that's been out and is being re-released. Like,
yeah. Have we talked about EA yet?
We haven't. If you want to jump on that, I know that's something that you're... Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because another thing... Because usually what I'm looking for at, you know, at E3 is the EA stuff. Lord knows why, because I know largely it's usually the same product, you know, from year to year when it comes to their sporting titles, you know. Madden is always going to be like the most ridiculous pre-hype release on the planet before being a perpetually disappointing game. NBA Live is NBA Live and bad. But FIFA is the crown king of all the console sporting simulation games. And I'm really excited to see the first Madden with the Frostbite physics engine, because FIFA debuted it last year, FIFA 17, and it is simply glorious when it comes to, you know, what you want to see out of a sports simulation game. Like,
let me sidetrack you real quick, James, okay. Because you brought up Madden with the Frostbite engine, and I have to say, Madden's not even out yet, and I'm so mad at EA, I'm still gonna buy Madden. But this whole story mode tease that they did, it only goes through draft day.
Really?
Apparently it only goes through draft day. Wow. It's just a story that goes through draft day. What's
that
the point
is
of having
so EA too, but that is such an EA thing to do. If you know EA's history, and that's one reason Nate that BioWare has been having so many issues on Tidbits, because you know when EA bought them out, that was after Mass Effect 2, I think 2. That's why 3 was the least best in the series. I'm telling you, they just ruined everything they touch at this point. Especially with DLC and all that shit.
See, I didn't know that about Longshot. Now that you mention it, it does sound kind of like a crock.
You know, and it just, I had hope. I was like, okay, EA saw that 2K was doing this thing with the My Career. And even though 2K16's My Career was awful with frequency vibrations or whatever, but 2K17, this My Career mode, I've been playing it and it's phenomenal. And I was hoping that, okay, maybe EA saw this and was like, hey, we can do this with Madden the way people have been asking for years. And no. Not at
well,
all.
That's just it with that gameplay trailer, though. Like it, or not gameplay trailer, but the long shot trailer. You know, in that minute that I saw, it felt like a lead up. You know, because if you want to look at the analog to this, you have to go back to FIFA 17, and they have, you know, a story mode that follows a franchise player named Alex Hunter. And you know, you take Alex Hunter from the lower tiers up into the higher clubs, and they're going to be rebooting that next chapter in FIFA 18, so you're Alex Hunter again, you go through this brand new storyline. Like, the thing I was thinking about with Longshot was, yeah, we're gonna take this guy, you know, through the University of Texas and their schedule, and then we get to, you know, kind of travel around and, you know, see the sights and sounds and make decisions. You know, it's kind of thinking back to, I used to play Madden 08 all the time. Like, that was my childhood, was Madden 08. You know, where you had that, like, My Player career mode, where you got, like, the Hall of Fame, where you even got to choose your parents' genes and went through the draft combine.
I loved that one. That was my favorite.
Yes. Well, that's another
thing. Talk to your agents and demand trades. Like, I think it would be something like that. But
that's another thing I'm bitter about, because I remember when they had that, and they had it in an earlier edition too. I remember being so angry at EA about Madden 08 for the Wii. Because when they put out Madden, I'm telling you, Madden 07 for the Wii was probably the most fun I've had with a Madden ever, because they actually integrated the motion controls. You would, you know, yank the controller up to hike, flick it to throw, all that kind of stuff. Like, it was phenomenal. 08 comes along, I'm thinking, yes, they're going to improve upon it. One of the favorite things I love doing with Madden is franchise mode. I love doing franchise mode, doing, you know, however, if I want to rebuild a team or do creative players, whatever it may be, I love doing that. Madden 08 for the Wii did not have a franchise mode.
You could feel when EA gave up on the Wii in terms of its sporting games. Because, like you said, 08 was that year they kind of gave up on the Wii, because they knew in 09, you know, for the upcoming Madden 09, they were going to kind of revamp how they did all of their games on all of their platforms. And you get the same feeling with 08 that you get with 13, because I bought 13, one of Calvin Johnson on the cover. And I was so excited, because, like, yeah, it's going to be so cool, because I had bought 12 the previous year, and 12 was fantastic. You know, they found a way to make it, you know, engaging and fun on that platform. Like, instead of the normal, like, online mode that you would get in, like, the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360, it had, like, this campus there where, you know, as you advanced as an owner, you get more things on your campus that unlocked certain things for your team, gave you, you know, credibility boosts and let you sign, you know, higher grade players. It was really cool. But then 13, they just kind of cut that. They're like, okay, here's just a regular franchise mode, and also we're not even going to try on the menus. It's just one of those things. It's just really weird how temperamental EA can be with certain platforms. And I think 13 was the last one that they did for any Nintendo product. They just stopped going to Nintendo.
They did. I'm hoping they come back on the Switch, but yeah, they just said, screw it, we're done. Are you still ranting about EA? I didn't mean to interrupt you if you weren't finished yet.
No, I think we're pretty covered, because, you know, EA's performance in terms of its simulation platforms is pretty much what we expected. You know, Madden tried to come out of the box with this unexpected, you know, announcement, and it kind of backfired on them. You know, FIFA just kind of showed up, and all FIFA had was, you know, a 1 minute gameplay trailer with the Frostbite, you know, with Ronaldo, you know, fooling fools out there. And the announcement of, oh, we've added a new chapter to the Alex Hunter story mode, and won the day. Like, that's just how it always is. And, you know, they didn't even try to do anything with NBA Live, because nobody NBA Live. Can you name one cover athlete on an NBA Live game?
No, I can't. No. I want to say Russell Westbrook, because the engine was so terrible, or whatever they used was so terrible, it didn't look like him at all. And I remember that being, you know, a major joke on Twitter. It was just like, this didn't look like Russell Westbrook. It was just like Donkey Kong. I mean, it was completely unlike him.
I remember. Now, I'm laughing because I remember. Yeah, there were a lot of memes about that.
Yes.
And it was pretty, it was amazing though.
All
right,
so. Okay,
yeah, I'm looking it up right now. It's really bad. It's hilariously bad.
This is very bad radio, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Hold on, I gotta look at it again. I have to. Jeez, man, he looks like a mix of
I just like need one more meme.
Gus Johnson and Brian Gumbel. That's what he looks like, yeah. And Frog.
Go look it up. It's just it's bad, but it's good because it's hilarious. Oh,
I might make that the cover photo for this. All right, so before we get out of here, final thoughts, anything that you guys want to share?
I'm excited for Nintendo, which is not something I've said in probably about 10 years. So
yeah,
good job, Nintendo.
That's me too. I can't wait to actually go buy a Switch just to play a Pokemon game. That's where I am in life right now.
I mean, I've always been there though. I've bought every single Pokemon game, and I've bought the things for the. I bought the handheld game for it. I'm that level though. But I've always been that level. Like, right? I went to trading card game tournaments as a child. So I've always been at that level.
Hey, me too.
I feel like we're about to get sidetracked, and it's gonna be my fault, and that's fine. You guys got time, I got time, but because I'm reaching back to what Courtney and Nate said earlier, and they were talking about Pokemon, and Nate was saying that he grew up on Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, which really makes me feel old because I had fallen out of the series by the time that came around. And Courtney has played, I'm assuming, all generations, but so I grew up Gen 1, of course, and I think I was 9 or 10 years old when it came out. My mom bought us a copy of the game. I remember playing it all. We weren't allowed to play games during the weekdays. I know that's weird, but that was before the internet. We couldn't play games during the weekdays. And my brother and I would sneak our Game Boys into the bathroom and play. I had red and he had blue. And so we'd sneak in the bathroom. Like, he'd sneak in the bathroom for a little bit, play his game. And then I go sneak in there and I play my game. And I, like, we're using the restroom. And Gen 2 came out. Thought it was phenomenal. Always loved it. Which, by the way, quick plug, you can find on our website, kidswarcrowns.com. I did a Nostalgia Ultra series on the top 15 or top 10 battles in Pokemon history. But anyway, I fell out of it when, because there was like a long low period between 2 and 3. And so basically what I'm trying to say is when I got in college, I started playing again. I played 3, 4, and 5. I played Emerald, I played Platinum, and I played White and White 2. And I will go ahead and say, y'all may want to fight me. I don't care. People have been clamoring for a Generation 4 remake, and they're hoping that's what it is on the Switch. I'm going to be pretty pissed if Gen 4 is a remake on the Switch, because I think Generation 4 is the most overrated generation in the whole series.
Now, remind me which region Gen 4 is in, because I really...
Exactly. It was Sinnoh.
Sinnoh.
Yeah, Sinnoh was the region 4, or excuse me, Gen 4.
So Diamond and Pearl, right?
Yeah, yes. Diamond, Pearl, Platinum.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty overrated.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I saw Pokemon forums, and I didn't even know people were like wanting a remake of that.
Well, see, I'm on the subreddit all the time, and that's where I see it.
There's been a big push because when Nintendo did their Nintendo Direct to reveal the Ultra Sun and Moon, they didn't. Behind him, they had all the games except for Gen 4, so people were like, well, that must be some kind of signal pointing to. They're going to remake Gen 4 or do something to it.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Ruby. I thought you were talking about Platinum and Pearl.
No, we're talking about
Platinum and Pearl. I had everything but that up there.
Then it just hit me, I was ready to fight you because, Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald are like...
Yeah, Ruby and Sapphire are my absolute favorites
Ruby
of all
and
time.
Sapphire. Those are
really good ones. Yes, I agree.
I would like a remake of those, but not for Platinum and Pearl, no.
But you know what I think they'll do before they remake Gen 4? They'll remake Generation 1 again and bring it up to speed. Because the last iteration you have of it is on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
So I would think they would do that. Same here. I mean, because it would be everything that Pokemon Go was supposed to be. Like, I know, Nate, you're still playing it, but like, it's... I'm so disappointed by what Pokemon Go should have been. And I know I shouldn't have expected all that, but I'm so disappointed about it, what it should have been. I put it down after like a month.
Nintendo needs, like, I really hope, or Game Freak goes off of that excitement that was picked up. Because, Nate, you even said that your interest got picked back up. I really hope they pick back up. And I'm really wanting them, everyone for a really long time has been wanting them to do an inter-region game where you can go to more than just one region like we did before. And we haven't, I don't think we've done it since. And it's frustrating because you really want to be able to do it again. They really kind of hinted towards it in Sun and Moon. So it really, I'm going to be really frustrated if we can't do it this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, did you see the Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon? They had a gameplay trailer, I'm pretty certain.
Mm-hmm, I did.
It looks great to me. Like, I'm trying to see what the secret behind the Crozma is going to be. Because right now he just looks like Kyurem 2.0. But I hope they do something unique with it and not just, oh, hey, he fuses with them. Because they're all, spoiler alert, they're all Ultra Beasts. So,
what?
they did also say they're getting new Pokemon, that they didn't specify if it's going to be like new Ultra Beast or if it's going to be like new Alolan Pokemon or if it's going to be just totally new different Pokemon. I think they're going to have three or four and more new Alolan forms of their thing, which that'd be cool too.
I love the Ultra Beast storyline. I really do. And I want them to go. I want to see more from that.
I think they can do more with it, because that was kind of disappointing. Like, that it was like, oh, hey, Ultra Beast at the end. There you go. Boom.
Because that was a really unique kind of, like, different. Like, they're not Pokemon, but they are something. But I really, like I said, I just wanted a lot more from that, and that's what my biggest expectation is that we get a lot more.
Like, I know, like that mode is really cool because, you know, like when you set down a Pokemon game, usually, you know, like you're done with the region, you know, because I think I can't remember of a generation after Silver, maybe, where you could like travel between the regions. And so generally when I finished a game in the Pokemon franchise, I just finished it. I just stopped playing it. And so it was really cool, you know, to get to the end of the main storyline and to walk out of your house as some dude comes out of the sky and says, "Hey, wanna catch Ultra Beasts?" You know, like be able to go down that trail. And so I really hope that this next generation comes in with more storylines to, you know, interact with, because I found myself really emotionally bound to the storylines like I haven't been before in other generations. That was really like a element that was missing in a lot of, you know, some of the middle generations, I'll call them, like 4, 5 in particular. There was just no emotional appeal for me. It was just, you know, getting through the game. And, you know, Sun and Moon really brought that back for me.
Really? So that's crazy to me, because I love Generation 5. And I know it gets a lot of but I loved how they tried to do something they didn't try. I mean, it wasn't new. They basically tried to isolate the region, create something new, create a whole new batch, kind of feel like you're starting from scratch because things were starting to blend together. I loved the way they had put all that together. I hate that it doesn't get as much love, and I never really understood why. I thought the storyline was great. I thought N was phenomenal as a character.
It doesn't Gen 5, like, that's one that consistently gets, like, blowback for having the like poor Pokemon designs. I think it's more than anything of that one.
The designs
of the Pokemon were the ones that people hated the most of any generation.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just thought it was so unique with, you know, you go through the Elite Four, and for once you don't fight the Tenapi, and the story actually progresses. It wasn't the 7 gyms, beat the bad team, go to the 8th gym, and go to the Elite Four. It was a different formula, and I think it worked. But I can understand that, because some of the designs were really stupid.
Yeah,
they were literally trash.
Yeah, it's 9/10 of the game is, you know, facing these Pokemon and training these Pokemon. So when the Pokemon are garbage and the movesets are garbage and
they're like actual little garbage,
who cares about the rest of it?
I mean, I will say though, because we harp on design a lot, but there were some stupid Pokemon Generation 1 too. Like, there've always been. We had a literal
Pokemon. Oh yeah, there always have been.
Sentient Pokeball.
There's Dan Ditto.
We had a ground, whatever Diglett is, and then its evolution was 3 of them. And then we had a Magnet, and its evolution was 3 of them. So, I mean,
You had a seal named Seal.
Exactly. Misspelled. Ponyta was Pony with a Tawny, and it was just on fire. I mean, there were...
And then Muk. You had Muk, too, which is just, like, goop.
Exactly. So...
Hey, Grimer was kind of a clever name, though, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But then you have Muk.
Yeah, Grimer, Muk. I mean...
Which is just a bigger version of Grimer.
Exactly. You had Kofifi and its evolution Weezing. I mean,
literally just a toupee.
But yeah, I mean, there have always been dumb designs. Dunsparce back in Generation 2 was pretty stupid. I think most of, even though I love Generation 3's games, I think most of the Generation 3 Pokemon are forgettable. But
Cricketune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a literal music playing cricket. Yeah, just, yeah.
But there have been some pretty good ones, though, too. Like, there have been some pretty good ones.
But I guess my point is Generation 5 gets a lot of hate for that when they've always been. I think it wouldn't have been as bad if you mixed in some classics. But because they tried to be bold and do this whole new set, and you couldn't find older Pokemon until you completed the game, I think that had a lot to do with it. So, it makes sense, though. Well, all right. Any final thoughts, guys?
Well, that was pretty much my final thoughts. So.
Yeah. It's just a lot of excitement. I'm about to drop $300 for the Switch. I'm saving up. Gotta see someone that wants to buy my kidney first.
You'll be broke in Chicago, but you'll be happy.
I'll be happy.
All right.
Who needs friends? See, I can save money from not going out. See?
Exactly,
I'll just,
yeah.
Won't have friends. I'll just stay the Switch. See, there's logic behind this.
I'll have to stop myself from using the 50% off employee discount to buy wines at my new job.
That sounds dangerous. I might need some money to give me 50% off. Either way, okay. So I want to thank Courtney, of course, for co-hosting with me today. And I want to thank Nate and James for both joining us as special guests on this edition of the podcast. We'll have to bring them back on anytime we do any other gaming stuff. I'm like Nate or James. I'm not a big gamer, but I do enjoy from time to time. So we'll have to bring y'all back on. We want to thank y'all for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. That was fun.
And again, you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, thekidswearcrowns.com. Follow us on Twitter at the KWC blog. And you can follow everybody else at Courtney is at Court Liz Camp, CourtlizCamp. You can find James on Twitter at AV King James. And you can find Nate on Twitter at Nose Complaint. So, yeah, that's it. Y'all get out of here, you wild and crazy kids. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Smoking, no cooking, the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. My bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Records on records, got backers on backers. I'm riding around in a coupe. I take your bitch right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Yeah. She went to the ball. Wait, these niggas watching. I swear to God, they be my clothes. Yeah, hey, huh? Switching my hoes like my flows. Switching my flows like my clothes. Keep on shooting that gun, no reload. Raindrop, drop top, smoking, no cooking, the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. My bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Records on records, got backers on backers. I'm riding around in a coupe. I take your bitch right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Four, dropping money out of space. Kid, cut a drink. Introduce me to your bitch's wife, and we know she slept. Me broke her brick down, nutty, buddy. Now that nigga ducky. Don't move too fast, I might shoot you. Draco, bad. Drop top, smoking, no cooking, the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. My bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Records on records, got backers on backers. I'm riding around in a coupe. I take your bitch right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Go to strip club, make it rain. So much money, they use rakes. They got 100,000 in your face. And then put 300 right in a safe. Let her today, yeah. She talked to me like she knew me, yeah. Go to sleep in a jacuzzi, yeah. Waking up right to a two-piece, yeah. Raindrop, drop top, smoking, no cooking, the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. My bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Records on records, got backers on backers. I'm riding around in a coupe. I take your bitch right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. I'm always hanging with shooters. Might be posted somewhere secluded. Still be playing with pots and pans. Call me Quavo Ratatouille. Run with that set, call me Boobie. When I'm on stage, show me boobies. Ice on my neck on the coolest. How about the suicide with the Uzi? Raindrop, drop top, smoking, no cooking, the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. My bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Bitch is bad and bullshit, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30 and 100 rounds too. Records on records, got backers on backers. I'm riding around in a coupe. I take your bitch right from you.